Badlands. You're out of the Badlands. Explain those Badlands. That's a hell of a name.
Good morning and welcome to The Brief on Badlands Media. I'm your host, Patrick Gunnels, joined by my co-host, Ash in America. And today is April 26th, 2024. Stuff's getting real out in InfoWar land. How are you doing, Ash?
Speaking of super real stuff, I want to revisit something really quickly that you and Brian talked about yesterday on Badlands Daily. How is it that we don't know, we being the science, how is it that we don't know what's on the backside of the moon? Because I was told that Apollo missions circled it, and also that we have space probes that like can tell us what's, you know, the composition of the gases on Uranus, but they can't like peer on the other side of the moon. What is that?
That is known as a plot hole. they fill it up with a special spackle called equity. And then you just tell anybody who asks that question, you tell them this: take an astronomy class, idiot. That's what you say to those people. So
got it. Spackle equity is something I'm very familiar with living in Colorado.
Yeah. Watching that reanimated corpse, Bill Nelson, attempt to explain anything was unnerving. But the fact is that, so should everybody know, what they claim about eclipses is that an eclipse is three things coming into one line. I forget the term. It's early, but anyway, when they go into alignment. Thank you so much. Every single part of the moon, according to their legend or their mythology, gets illuminated by the sun. How do we know that? We know that because they say the moon rotates. But the moon and the earth rotate with such perfect, utter perfection, such synchrony, that you don't get to see this one dark side of the moon. Now, it's dark to us is the idea. It's always facing away. Okay. But yeah, like you said, they've been on it. They circled the
allegedly
moon, allegedly. And then of course you also referred to it as the star side of the moon because it's got access to the stars.
Yeah, I was, reading stuff about the moon. I forget why. It was on a car, I was carpooling with somebody and we ended up on a moon rabbit hole. But I ended up reading this thing from NASA. I'm pretty sure it was NASA. And they were talking about how, you know, the dark side of the moon is called the dark side of the moon. And Pink Floyd really helped them with that. But it's not actually dark. And in the science, it's called the star side of the moon rather than the earth side of the moon. And apparently we're just throwing all that science out and embracing the dark side of the moon and listening to that guy say, we don't know what's over there. How do you not know what's how many bajillions? And I mean that literally.
Bajillions
have you spent on space exploration, which I'm pretty convinced is.
I really love it when you say production. The tone of voice you take when you refer to the science is always dripping with derision.
Yeah.
And I guess they kind of did it to themselves. But by the way, the word science is a perfectly good word. It just means knowledge.
Yeah. And the scientific method is good. I'm a big fan of the scientific method. I just don't like when the science skips the scientific method and tells us all what's true and then says, no, you can't question that because the science is settled.
Exactly. The science is settled. I learned that phrase years ago. It was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Propaganda-wise. Yeah. For that's an Al Gore thing that sticks out for me because it was, I was a conservationist. When I was in middle school, I was annoying about the environment because my teachers were pumping that into me. My mother will go on and on about how annoying I was in the sixth grade with regards to the environment. But when the climate change thing came out, As a, you know, a conservationist, I think we are to be good stewards of the earth and not trash the place. I gave it a look. And what struck me the most was that this incredibly radical idea, world-ending, life-changing, upend your lives for this idea, was being very emotionally dropped upon us, and we were not allowed to question it. And if I can't question something, I'm going to question that all day long.
Yep. Yep. Having things you're not allowed to question is an instant tell that you're being lied to. Always. No exceptions. And
Judy French says this: if science is settled, it's religion, not science. And that's spot on.
Yep. All right. Let's go ahead and begin.
Can you hear my cat, by the way?
No, I can't. Okay, but, good.
All right, as long as the mic's not picking it up because he's standing outside the door screaming. But if I let him in the room, he'll knock everything over. So
what an asshole. He really is. From badlands.substack.com, the Badlands News Brief, Trump immunity, Fed panic, and Me Too whiplash by Burning Bright, brought to you 5 days a week at badlands.substack.com. First story from The Hill. Supreme Court weighs limits of presidential immunity in Trump case. The Supreme Court will weigh the limits of presidential immunity Thursday. Okay, so that was like yesterday. So they did weigh it already, and we're just going to find out what happened. In an unprecedented and historic case with significant implications for former President Trump, his legal fights, and the 2024 race for the White House. Do I have the right date?
Yeah. This is a double take. There's kind of the before and then the political one is more of the results of the hearing. And I watched it. So
you watched it?
I watched the Supreme Court hearing yesterday. Yeah.
Wait, hang on a second. They had cameras?
No, they have like C-SPAN has an overlay where they pop up their pictures while they're talking. It's all audio, but they do have audio.
All right, cool. Trump is pushing an argument that has already been rejected by two lower courts, that as a former executive, he remains immune from prosecution for official actions he took while holding office. Prosecutors see the novel argument as one that would put presidents beyond the reach of the criminal justice system even after they leave office. On the bench are three conservatives Trump nominated to the court: Neil Gorsuch, Justice Brett Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett. But the court's verdict could cut against claims from the presumptive GOP. From the presumptive GOP nominee that he should not be prosecuted. The Hill. And this one from Politico: Jack Smith's odds of putting Trump on trial this year are sinking. The already slim likelihood that Donald Trump will face a criminal trial brought by special counsel Jack Smith before the 2024 election appeared to dwindle further Thursday in the face of withering scrutiny from the Supreme Court's conservative majority. One by one, the court's six Republican-appointed justices, including three nominated by Trump himself, took wax at Smith's effort to quickly and cleanly reject Trump's claim of immunity from criminal prosecution over his attempt to subvert the 2020 election. Instead, during more than 2.5 hours of oral argument, the justices forecast a result that could require lower courts to spend months analyzing various aspects of Trump's election plot. From organizing fraudulent slates of electors to leaning on his Justice Department to sow false doubts about the results, the purpose of these additional lower court proceedings, several conservative justices suggested, would be to determine if some of the acts alleged in the special counsel's indictment count as sufficiently official presidential duties that they ought to be shielded from criminal charges. Even if Smith were to win those battles, it would virtually ensure that a trial could not happen until after the election. Politico. After the election, meaning, but they're going to steal. Okay, they're going to steal it anyway. Their plan is to steal it. They're definitely going to try. But they definitely don't have absolute confidence that they can.
Right.
They stuck Biden in a basement. That's extreme confidence that they can steal it, you know?
Yeah.
They really thought they had it in the bag, and that's why they just didn't bother. This time, They're not acting like that. That's kind of cool. And if they can't steal it, and then Trump becomes president, I think Jack Smith goes to prison, like, on January 21st.
I mean,
because I am 100%, if Donald Trump becomes president, I am 100% in favor of him just massively cleaning out the DOJ and doing nothing but filling all positions with fanatical loyalists who will go out and slap handcuffs on approximately a million people.
Yeah. You know, we talk a lot about precedent setting through the Trump trials and things that we're seeing, but the J6, you know, witch hunt and cover up of the coup gives us a good example of how you can roll up a whole bunch of people, and it might take some time for them to get through the process and receive, you know, due process and have their trials and everything, but it certainly can be done. Yeah. I think that's interesting. In terms of this, these proceedings, the arguments before the Supreme Court centered on official acts versus private acts. And pretty much everyone agrees that a president is not above the law to such an extent that they can go rob a bank, right? They're private acts. Things they do not as president, or, you know, not official acts, that they don't have presidential immunity for that. Now, I think historically they certainly have had immunity from those things, as have their family. Look at Hunter Biden, right? But from a legal standpoint, all of the parties before the court yesterday, including all of the justices, seemed pretty much aligned that private acts are not, you know, they're not covered by immunity. So the question then is official acts, and it's, can a president be criminally prosecuted for official acts after they've left office? Now, the president and his attorney's position on this is only if he's been impeached and removed, right? Impeached and found guilty and convicted. That's the word I'm looking for. Impeached and convicted through the appropriate constitutional process. Then if that has happened, then it's fair game that, you know, if it's proven through that constitutional process that he was, you know, engaging in crimes, then he can be held accountable for those crimes. I personally believe that President Trump is innocent of what they're alleging, and that he will beat this on the merits, even if all of them, all of the cases on the merits, even if it you know, ends up taking appeals and taking more time. I think good example.
Okay. It's hard to figure out what he's even accused of in most of these cases.
Yeah. I mean, this one, the J6 case, the Jack Smith J6 case, is that he's accused of trying to overturn the election.
That's not a crime.
Well, it depends. First of all, he wasn't trying to overturn the election. He was responding to reports, many from his own people, that there was fraud in the election.
All right. Humor me. Define overturn the election.
Well, Fox News had already called the election.
Sandra Smith.
What? We called it. What's he even talking about?
Trumpet. I changed that day when I saw the repellent Sandra Smith twist her mouth that way. Trace. I'm the source of truth, Trace. And I'm wondering if that was done on purpose to enrage me.
To enrage all of us.
Yes, to enrage every single one of us. To let us know, hey, Fox News hates your guts too.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's absolutely true. So this is what it's centered on was what is an official act, and really in you know, kind of from a constitutional construct, can the president be held, be prosecuted for crimes that he allegedly committed as official acts while in office, after he's left office, if he hasn't been impeached and convicted by the Senate? The DOJ says yes. Trump's team says no. it. I mean, I think the president, no, I think nobody is above the law. I think the president should be able to be held accountable. And I think that the constitutional process for that is sound. Just because they can't get 2/3 of the Senate to convict President Trump doesn't mean that the process is broken. It means that convicting a president for what they do while in office is an extraordinary endeavor, and it should be so bad that you can get 2/3 to get there. During the arguments, they talked about President Obama's drone strikes. They talked about all sorts of other things, and it was interesting to watch the DOJ kind of twist themselves in knots to get to, oh no, everything that the former Democrat president and the current Democrat president have done is totally fine. It's just President Trump. He's so bad. He was so horrible for our nation that we have to blow up every constitutional process, every long-held precedent, every norm and standard of conduct for how these things go. It's that important. It is delicious panic, and I don't think it's going to go their way.
I'm going to tell you, I don't know how I feel about this, because I feel strongly that Barack Obama, George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, George H.W. Bush, rest in peace. Maybe everybody except for Jimmy Carter and Donald Trump, they've committed serious crimes. I think that they have taken money to go to war. And how do you prove quid pro quo? But I think there's lots of that going on. So I don't know how I feel about this, because I want to prosecute former presidents a lot.
Yeah. And that's the thing that's kind of cool about this. I was talking to BB a little bit about it yesterday after I wrote up the take, is that I'm fine with either outcome of this Supreme Court, this specific Supreme Court dispute. Because if they find that that, you know, former presidents cannot be prosecuted for their criminal, for criminal acts that were part of their official acts, then it means, you know, Joe Biden can't also. But it means that a lot of this stuff against President Trump goes away. Mm-hmm. If they find that he can, which I think is likely, I think it's likely that they rule that that he can be prosecuted, then so much of Biden is on the table. So much of Obama is still on the table. And it's very interesting that a lot of Obama's official acts came under scrutiny during this case. So I honestly, my personal opinion is that the process that we have is correct. That if a president, because a president has to be able to operate without the fear of political, you know, political opposition coming after him criminally, the way that we see happening to President Trump, unprecedented, never been done before. The president has to be able to operate in the best interest of the American people and the United States of America without fear of what's happening to President Trump happening to them. But they also are not above the law. And so having the impeachment and conviction process as a premise for, you know, a foundational element that has to be met before you can criminally prosecute a president, I think that's right. But looks like they're about to blow that up and say, no, we're not going to do that anymore. We can prosecute whoever we want. Fair freaking game then.
I think that your prediction is in the minority.
That's not.
I was Sean Davis. I think that's a dude who's kind of on our side. Federalist, you know?
Yeah,
he predicts that they're going to go 5-4 or 6-3 in favor of upholding all of the principles of presidential immunity, with only Justice Amy Coney Barrett. What a disappointment she's been, by the way, going with the liberals, possibly.
So that is that would be President Trump's basically what he's asking for. And that still doesn't let Biden off the hook or Obama off the hook. Just means they have to be impeached and convicted first, which I think the chances of that in the current construct of Congress are a long shot. But they impeached and convicted, or they impeached, not convicted, but impeached President Trump for the second time after he had left office. So that precedent is already met.
You're right. Very well put. Very, very well put. Okay. Very cool. Let's go ahead Let's go ahead and do the, can you do the produced ad for the Badlands shop?
Oh, sure.
In today's fast-paced world, peace of mind is priceless. That's where Badlands Media steps in. Preparing for life's uncertainties is about being ready for anything, right where you are. Welcome to the Badlands Media Shop. We've partnered with Patriot companies offering products that empower you to prepare for any eventuality comfortably from your home. The Badlands Media Shop has everything you need to secure your peace of mind. Browse the virtual aisles. Prepare your family for the year ahead with products you can trust from companies that share your values. Whether it's growing your own food or prepping long-term storage, protecting your family, or stocking up on emergency supplies, we've got you covered. Get prepared. Visit Badlands Media Shop at badlandsmedia.tv/shop today. Every purchase supports a freedom-loving business as well as Badlands Media. That's badlandsmedia.tv/shop. Thank you for your continued support.
All right. Check out the shop, guys. All right. So we said during the pre-show, before we went live, we said, well, this is a very short brief, so it might be a short show because there's so few stories, and yet here we are, 23 minutes in on the first story. All right. Yeah. Next story is from the Wall Street Journal. Trump allies draw up plans to blunt Fed's independence. Interesting. Donald Trump's allies are quietly drafting proposals that would attempt to erode the Federal Reserve's independence if the former president wins a second term, in the midst of a deepening divide among his advisors over how aggressively to challenge the central bank's authority. Notice the use of terms here, just erode. This is where it's so destructive, Wall Street friggin' journal shill says. Former Trump administration officials and other supporters of the presumptive GOP nominee have in recent months discussed a range of proposals, from incremental policy changes to a long shot assertion that the president himself should play a role in setting interest rates. A small group of the president's allies, whose work is so secretive that even some prominent former Trump economic aides weren't aware of it, has produced a roughly 10-page document outlining a policy vision for the central bank, according to people familiar with the matter. The group of Trump allies argues that he should be consulted on interest rate decisions, and the draft document recommends subjecting Fed regulations to White House review and more forcefully using the Treasury Department as a check on the central bank. The group also contends that Trump, if he returns to the White House, would have the authority to oust Jerome Powell as Fed chair before his four-year term ends in 2026. The people familiar with the matter said, though Powell would likely remain on the Fed's Board of Governors, it couldn't be determined whether Trump is aware of or signed off on the effort. But some people close to the discussions believe the work has received the blessing of the former president. Quote, let's be very specific here. Unless a message is coming directly from President Trump or an authorized member of his campaign team, no aspect of future presidential staffing or policy announcements should be deemed official. Trump senior advisors Susie Wiles and Chris LaCivita said in a statement, Wall Street Journal. So everybody in this chat knows that the real ruler of the world is the Federal Reserve, because they control the instrument of plunder known as the Federal Reserve Note, also known as the United States dollar. If the elected president actually gets real power over that, everything in our world changes almost overnight. What say you, Ash?
Yeah, Q Patriots Win put a link. I don't know what the link is, but it's some sort of video referencing The Creature from Jekyll Island. And if people haven't read The Creature from Jekyll Island, they really should. Have you done a show on that?
I've never done a show on The Creature from Jekyll Island. It's long.
It is long. Yeah. Really good, though, to understand the foundations of the Federal Reserve, who was involved, where it came from, you know, and the century-long plot to enslave the world that we're at the tail end of. So I think, you know, one of my favorite politicians, very short list because I don't like many of them ever. But one of my favorites is Ron Paul, and he's talked about auditing the Fed since I was a child. I think we're beyond auditing it. I think we need to abolish it. And it sounds like President Trump's team is working on plans to, at minimum, reform it. So I think that's a great thing. And it's, you know, interesting to see that Susie Wiles is still one of President Trump's senior advisors. I was in a meeting with her once.
Yeah. I wonder if she's in relation to the famous mathematician Andrew Wiles.
I don't know. You should ask her.
I should indeed. Is she okay? Well, the thing about the Fed is
very smart lady, by the way.
Maybe then she is related, but the Fed is able to do what it wishes with the money supply.
Yeah. Do what thou wilt.
Yeah, right. And that money supply is the worldwide militarily enforced method of settlement for transactions of oil, cross border transactions in oil. Okay. That means they're the slave masters of the entire damn world. Mm-hmm. If the currency can be manipulated without transparency by a bunch of free actors who are unelected,
yeah,
done. You don't have a free society in any way.
Yeah, I think that's right. And then you look at, like, for example, war and the central banks. So there's, you know, the Federal Reserve, there's the Bank of London, there's the Vatican Bank, there's, you know, central banks in a lot of other regions, and they're playing a different game when you think about something like, you know, world war, multi-theater war, like we have now. The banks are, you know, having separate conversations, they have separate agendas, and they probably have separate resolutions in mind, all of which will shore up their resources and, as is the point, their power globally. It's Great Reset to New World Order. We're living right smack dab in the middle of it. And we're going to have to, I really hope there's continuity of government. I firmly believe there is. I was having this conversation yesterday with a friend of mine. Like, I cannot believe that all of the leaders in our institutions, public and private, certainly military, just went, not my job, not my problem. You know, we're just going to let this thing happen. I don't see it. I know way too many veterans. I know way too, you know, look at people like, you know, General Quast, General Flynn, right? People that were in those environments who I can't see compromising themselves and forfeiting the Constitution just because mm-hmm. the chain of command said so. That's antithetical to what I know about the majority of people in the military that I've met, and certainly the principles thereof. So I firmly believe that there's continuity of government in place. If there's not, we're totally screwed.
Yes, very true. Can't argue with that. If there's not, and there is, guys, there really has to be, because mm-hmm. the people in the United States military were oath bound to do something about that. Yeah. I think really what happened was that the real stealing of the elections took place a very, very long time ago. And the stolen 2020 election was engineered by the good guys to be so clownishly obvious that real change could be effected because the people would have the will to do so.
Yeah.
All right. Let's can we pop over to the, can you do the video for Manly Cans and I'll do the read?
Absolutely.
Are you tired of searching for the perfect gift for the men in your life? Look no further. Introducing Manly Cans, the ultimate destination for spoiling the guys with cool stuff that they actually want. Anniversaries, birthdays, or just for the heck of it. Manly Cans are more than just gifts. They're an experience. Each can is carefully packed in reusable packaging, including cans, burlap bags, and even a greeting card that doubles as a coaster. You can even customize your Manly Can to fit your man's personality. Choose from a wide variety of cans and, during checkout, add additional items to make it right, just for him. Manly Cans is an unforgettable experience that supports other small businesses, too. Join us in our mission to spoil the men in your life. Visit badlandsmedia.tv/manlycans today and give your guy a gift to remember. Manly Cans, because men deserve to be spoiled. What a nice, sweet thing to say. All right. Next story. And this one is from AP News. Harvey Weinstein's rape conviction is overturned by New York's top court. New York's highest court on Thursday threw out Harvey Weinstein's 2020 rape conviction with a ruling that shocked and disappointed women who celebrated historic gains during the Me Too era and left those who testified in the case bracing for a retrial against the ex-movie mogul. The court found the trial judge unfairly allowed testimony against Weinstein based on allegations that weren't part of the case. Weinstein, 72, will remain in prison because he was convicted in Los Angeles in 2022 of another rape. But the New York ruling reopens a painful chapter in America's reckoning with sexual misconduct by powerful figures, an era that began in 2017 with a flood of allegations against Weinstein. Me Too advocates noted that Thursday's ruling was based on legal technicalities and not an exoneration of Weinstein's behavior, saying the original trial irrevocably moved the cultural needle on attitudes about sexual assault. AP News. Ash, help me.
Okay, so...
Tell me exactly what he's accused of. I never rape. Actually got into the details of the case.
This case is about rape. I don't have all of the details, but the problem...
Yeah, nobody knows. I ask every single person I talk about this case to, who do you rape? And I nobody ever knows. I'm not saying...
Well, there were rape... there were victims making allegations in this case. The problem and why it's being overturned is because the judge allowed other victims in other cases to make their allegations in this case as well. And the appellate court found that that was overly prejudicial. So a couple things on this that I think are important for people to realize. One, this has been going on for Weinstein since 2017. And this conviction is in 2020. It's now 2024 and it's being overturned. The justice process can take time. Now, Harvey Weinstein, for everything that we know, which I've never met the man, right? I've never personally talked to any of his victims. But from what we know, he's a monster. He will stay in prison because he's already, you know, he was convicted in Los Angeles. That one has not been overturned. So it's this New York case that is the problem. But due process matters. It is important that we have justice in this country, a justice system. And that's where I think this is very interesting, because it's 4 years after this conviction was levied against Weinstein. The appellate process takes time. We are talking about New York judges in a New York jurisdiction with a high profile client and very emotionally charged allegations, charges in the case. We've been talking about with President Trump for a long time, the abuses of discretion in the judicial process in New York, Judge Kaplan in allowing E. Jean Carroll, her, all of the things that she asserts that aren't founded there. They can't put the facts in evidence. They're not foundational. The where she was, when it was, you know, what day, all that kind of stuff. Allowing that while not allowing things that she had said, you know, her cat named Vagina, rape is sexy, all of that kind of stuff, leaving that out. That is the judge exercising discretion. And he exercised it in a way that was prejudicial to President Trump. And then he did it a whole bunch of times. Right. The compounding effect of that abuse of discretion, if it results in manifest injustice against the accused, is a judicial abuse of power. It's a boomerang that I really hope we get to see, because it's not just Kaplan. It's Engoron and Mershon and the New York justice system. Mm-hmm. Is a hot mess. So I think it's very interesting that we're now seeing Harvey Weinstein's case show that there is, you know, that those chickens will come home to roost eventually, right? You will eventually see the law and justice will reassert itself. Interesting when it comes to Weinstein. The second thing about this, because I think there's a lot of parallels with Trump here, but more than anything, you're going to have the leftists defending a judicial abuse of discretion against President Trump while railing about it against Harvey Weinstein. And you can't have it both ways. Either you're guilty, you're innocent until proven guilty, and we have due process, or we don't. That's something we have to reconcile. The second thing that I think is very interesting is that they say this reopens a painful chapter in America's history with sexual misconduct by powerful figures. Wait a second, reopens? When did it close? Are we really meant to believe that Harvey Weinstein's arrest and conviction ended systemic sexual abuse in Hollywood? I mean, just ask Diddy.
Yeah, just ask Diddy. All right, let's get to our
interesting case.
Let's get to Epic Minerals. Here we go.
He said something that really hit home about this phenomena of chemtrails.
Manganese will make you kill your mama. How much manganese are you spraying in my neighborhood at night while I'm asleep?
Military and some commercial jets have been fitted with huge barrels of at least 49 different kinds of documented chemical poisons. Barium is toxic to all mammals. Aluminum is known to diminish kidney function and destroy brain cells and cognitive function. A problem, a serious problem.
Patent number 500-3186 describes cooling the earth with metal oxides sprayed into the stratosphere.
And I thought, well, geez, this is what I do for a living. I was finding tons and tons of large quantities of aluminum, barium, strontium in the forms of oxides and sulfates. Instead of protecting the people, we are poisoning the people.
Detox and prevent heavy metal poisoning. www.epicminerals.net. Promo code Badlands. Promo code Badlands to pry a dollar from my grasping hands. If you've got brain fog, by the way, could very well be heavy metals. Get yourself some zeolite spray, epicminerals.net.
Yeah, oh, there's dear. Definitely a... Sorry.
No, you go ahead.
There's definitely a result from the 5 sprays of zeolite a day. You know, I've joked about having to pee a lot, and that's true. It's kind of tapered off now. I don't have to pee as much. But my head is clear, you know, like less brain fog, particularly in the afternoons when I usually get brain fog. I'm sleeping better.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Yeah. It's really something. And it's, you know, simple. It's got a little bit of an earthy taste. I know you've said it tastes like water. It does when you're spraying it in, tastes like water, but there's a little bit of an earthy aftertaste. I don't mind it. And it goes, you know, it goes away. It's not like sticking with you. Yeah. Or anything, but really I'm really pleased with the product. And
so glad to hear that. It does take a bit for the effects to really start being realized. Different people have different levels of toxicity. It's not just heavy metals that it gets out of your system. It's other things. BPA is a big one. It is actually used in the labs when they're working with BPA to bind with BPA and get it out of solution. So BPA is something that you find in plastics, and it's also in receipts. When you touch it, it's on there too. So definitely check that out. Check out the reviews are starting to come in on the website too. So check out the reviews too at epicminerals.net. The only reviews that I will ever delete are reviews where they're just bitching that they haven't received it yet. Because that's not really a product review. That's just being an asshole. But any review that is put up there stays up there if it's actually reviewing the product.
Yeah, it is amazing, isn't it, that people expect you to be Amazon? Like,
I know, it's so upsetting because there is no way I'll ever be able to
intentionally
compete
with Amazon. Our culture.
Yeah, I
it's,
know.
It's the instant gratification. But no, I've always gotten my products very quickly when I ordered them. The other couple of things from Epic Minerals that I just want to mention, I love the body butter. Took me a little bit. It's not, you know, it's definitely a body butter. It's very, very thick.
It goes a long way.
But it keeps the moisture in your skin. Like I can put that on and do on my hands in the morning. And I wash my hands a whole bunch throughout the day. And my hands are still, I don't know how you do that. I don't know how that moisture gets locked into your skin and just stays there, but it does.
Well, it's the argan oil, the amaranth oil, the apricot kernel oil that has the vitamin B17. Remember that, guys.
And then the other thing I want to mention are the soaps. So I got the Love Soap, and it is, first of all, it's a fragrant soap, but it's not overpowering. It, you know, sometimes those things will make you feel like soaps and lotions and things. There's so much fragrance that it's like, oh, I feel like I'm being choked by fragrance. It's not that way. It's absolutely just a great soap. Plus, they're really pretty. They make great, great gifts. I actually did leave a product review yesterday about the soap because I was so pleased with it. But beautiful. Definitely check out what's going on over at Epic Minerals, guys, because there's so many products. You're tinkering with new products. There's a serum coming that I'm very excited about. I'm not gonna spoil the plot there, but check it out, everybody. Epicminerals.net.
Thank you so much, Ash. Really appreciate that. All right, let's do the next story. U.S. fertility rate falls to record low. American women are giving birth at record low rates. The total fertility rate fell to 1.62 births per woman in 2023, a 2% decline from a year earlier. Federal data released Thursday showed it is the lowest rate recorded since the government began tracking it in the 1930s. The decline reflects a continuing trend as American women navigate economic and social challenges that have prompted some to forego or delay having children. A confluence of factors are at play. American women are having fewer children later in life. Women are establishing fulfilling careers and have more access to contraception. At the same time, young people are also more uncertain about their futures and spending more of their income on home ownership, student debt, and childcare. Some women who wait to have children might have fewer than they would have otherwise for reasons including declining fertility. Quote, people are making rather reasoned decisions about whether or not to have a child at all, said Karen Benjamin Gutso, director of the Carolina Population Center at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. More often than not, I think what they're deciding is, yes, I'd like to have children, but not yet. Wall Street Journal. I think it's also important to note we're in the middle of a war, a real war. And after the war is won, that's when you get your baby boom.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, I think people are in the middle of a war like this. And I don't think we've ever had a war like this. Because every single thing that's happening right now is not, you know, bombs dropping or air raids, but the circumstances are similar in the uncertainty that the people are facing right now. Not to mention the fact that economics are really bad for a lot of people right now, and having children can be quite expensive. But what do you think? Do you think there's any way out of this declining fertility?
Well, one of the things that brings me great comfort is the fact that I know lots of pregnant people and they're all based. So
that is another very important point. This is an incredibly eugenic thing.
Yeah. So there's the people that got the shots that are dying suddenly. Obviously not some of our most intellectually superior individuals if they decided to get an experimental poison that had never been tested and was being told by some of the scientists that, hey, this might be dangerous. And all the ferrets died when we tried this with animal trials. And but yeah, let's just go start jabbing it in people. So that's a population reduction endeavor that has been successful for a certain type of certain personality type, right? Certain type of person, a very compliant person.
They're killing. It's like they're killing their most loyal servants.
Yeah, yeah.
But
interesting.
They're smartening up the population.
Certainly are. Right, yeah. And then the really smart ones are cranking out lots of babies, while the other side of the equation is sterilizing and mutilating themselves, aborting all of their babies, and talking about the virtues of not having a family and not having children. We are going to we're building a multi-generational army of intelligent people, sane people, because all the people that I know that are pregnant are going to raise their kids to be sane, critical thinkers. Not yep. Sheep that follow the corporations around and do whatever they say. So I'm encouraged by the declining fertility. I think we've got a survival of the fittest thing going on. I like it.
Absolutely. I see somebody in the chat saying 8 weeks tomorrow at 41. I think that means 8 weeks pregnant and at 41 years old. That is badass.
Congratulations. Right, that's amazing. And
may God, may God make this an easy pregnancy, a healthy pregnancy, and may the baby be happy and healthy on the day of his birth and for the rest of his life or her life. So exciting. It's so awesome. Amazing.
Right. I know. I'm telling you, like all the smart people are having babies. And all the you know, radical communists are talking about how stupid it is to have babies.
It's so like dumb.
It's problem solved.
From Modernity News, Aussie Prime Minister calls for a ban on memes. The Australian Prime Minister appeared to call for a ban on memes on social media Wednesday as his government continues a full-on assault on freedom of speech online. During a press appearance, Anthony Albanese seemed to lump in memes making fun of him with misinformation he is claiming should be purged from the internet. Social media platforms have a responsibility to make sure that misinformation isn't got out there, Albanese stated. He continued, I noticed today, for example, on the way up here, they've removed various sites that were up containing fake images of myself superimposed on other people. Yeah, that's not illegal. It's called freedom of expression and humor. That's the sort of thing that's going on social media. Social media has a responsibility to do the right thing here, he further asserted. Modernity News. I just want to apologize to everybody. I can't do an Australian accent yet, but I'm working on it.
G'day, mate.
I know, right? They freaking Australia is the worst. Mm. Remember their regional governors during COVID?
The camps?
The maniacs. Mm. I don't know what to say about that, but
say crikey. Crikey.
That might be more crikey. London. All right. Anyway.
That's not a knife. This is a knife.
Thank God you're doing it for me, Ash. We'll have to have our CEO, John Harold, who is a notorious accent critic, weigh in on what he thinks. All right. Next. We're in bonus items, y'all.
Nice.
All right. This one is from the Epoch Times. Fauci, oh God, to testify in public hearing on COVID-19 response origins. Dr. Anthony Fauci is locked in to testify before the Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Pandemic on June 3rd, his first public hearing since retiring as the president's chief medical advisor in 2022. Subcommittee Chair Brad Wenstrup, Republican of Ohio, announced in an April 24 press release that Dr. Fauci agreed to appear late last year. Retirement from public service does not excuse Dr. Fauci from accountability to the American people, Mr. Wenstrup said. On June 3rd, Americans will have an opportunity to hear directly from Dr. Fauci about his role in overseeing our nation's pandemic response, shaping pandemic-era policies, and promoting singular questionable narratives about the origins of COVID-19. Dr. Fauci testified in a closed-door hearing in January. According to Mr. Wenstrup, Dr. Fauci has already admitted to serious systemic failures in our public health system, which he says deserves further investigation. Mr. Wenstrup says, among other revelations, Dr. Fauci has said the 6 feet apart social distancing guidance recommended by federal health officials and used to shut down small businesses across the country sort of just appeared and was likely not based on scientific data. During the two-day January hearing, Dr. Fauci revealed he signed off on every foreign and domestic NIAID, the National Institute of Allergic and Infectious Diseases grant, without personally reviewing the proposals. He also admitted that America's vaccine mandates, which he promoted, could increase the public's vaccine hesitancy in the future, the Epoch Times. Ash, this story is a freaking red herring. Every single member of that committee is going to continue to pump the idea that we did indeed have invisible demon dust floating around and killing everybody. And as long as that narrative is allowed to exist, every single official act taken by Fauci can be defended. So this is all stupid. Just my opinion.
Yeah. Remember when he called himself the science and said that any criticism of the scientific approach to COVID was, or any criticism of him was in his approach to COVID was it a criticism of science? Attacks on me or attacks on science?
Yeah, but what is probably less known is his general slang vernacular. When he says the science, he really means the faggot. And that is exactly what he is. So he was accurate in that case.
Oh, maybe that's why he had the response to the AIDS pandemic that he had. Self-hating kind of situation.
You should watch footage of that ringworm being asked if you can catch AIDS from a toilet. That was the time when he was directed by his overlords to give maximum fear. Well, we don't AZT. Know if you sit on the toilet, you might get it. I don't know, maybe. And it's just, he just says whatever causes the most possible fear.
Yeah. So I hope if they are doing hearings that look into Dr. Fauci, that what we actually do is follow the money of his decisions, his approval. He talked about the grants that he's approved without reading them, all the kinds of things. That the grants that he's approved without reading them reminds me of all the bills that make it through our legislature, both federally and certainly here in Colorado, that they don't read. We had this this pet insurance bill. It was like a pet fee came through Colorado, and everybody lost their shit because it was basically saying if you want to have a pet, you have to pay a fee to the government because pets, you know, are like, I don't know, emitting carbon or something. And everybody lost their minds. And the person who proposed the bill came back and she said, this latest draft, I hadn't had a chance to read it. So why the hell did you introduce it as a law that we're going to debate and try to pass? If you haven't read it yet, they do that all the time.
Because the owner of my ass who exactly. holds the leash to my GIMP mask told me to. That's the correct exactly. answer.
That's exactly right. They're just puppets. They're mm-hmm. props doing the bidding of lobbyists. And nowhere is that more profound and deeply impactful in all the worst ways than in the medical community, the science community, the pharma community, where you know, science is settled, can't question it. Give us bajillions of dollars.
Bajillions.
And we're gonna kill you.
Literally.
Yeah.
Next story, this one from modernity.news. NYU pro-Palestine demonstrators have no idea what they're protesting. Video captured at New York University shows that some of the students protesting there have no idea why. NYU is one of several campuses where so-called Gaza camps have been formed with students refusing to disperse. Yet it seems that the students don't really know what they're doing it for. In the footage below, the videographer asks one of the protesters, "What would you say is the main goal with tonight's protest?" She responds, "I think the goal is just showing our support for Palestine and demanding that NYU stop." I honestly don't know all of what NYU is doing. The student then asks her friend, "Do you know what they're doing?" To which the other masked student responds, "I wish I was more educated." "I'm not either," the first protester then admits, claiming that she came from Columbia University after she was told to. May we just watch this delightful young lady?
I've seen it. We have to watch it. It's amazing. Is Columbia an Ivy?
Yeah, big time. Hugely yeah. Ivy.
Brilliant.
And what would you say is the main goal with tonight's protest?
I think the goal is just showing our support for Palestine and demanding that NYU stops. I honestly don't know all of what NYU is doing.
Is there something that NYU is doing?
I really don't know. I'm pretty sure they're... Do you know what NYU is doing?
About Israel. Why are we protesting here?
Palestine will be free!
I wish I was more educated.
I'm not either. I came from
Columbia. I was there up at Columbia, and we came down. They said NYU students needed our support. So I came down. I heard there's lots of cops. Some people were saying it was getting dangerous.
I think you all need to leave this lovely young lady alone.
Ivy League educated.
It's so awesome.
It's so I don't know, too. Like they're doing something and it's bad and somebody told you to come, so I came.
Poor girl. She's probably white hat intelligence for all we know.
Maybe. Or maybe she's a gender studies major.
Maybe. I don't know. But that
Ivy
was a
League
great
gender studies major. I know it's really good, right?
Ivy League. I wish I was educated. What a great thing to say.
Yeah, Kitsko. I wish I was more educated. Me too. I'm not either.
That's awesome. I wish the girl wasn't wearing
$100,000 a year education.
Oh yeah, wearing the mask. Wearing the mask.
Kitsko gave us a rumble rant.
Oh sweet, read it.
I think Trump's plan is to move to the Treasury note. His asset seizure plans involve Treasury, not Fed Reserve. I wonder if gold was required as payment as all the creepies are selling properties.
Yeah, I think that could work. You know what else could work? And we'll wrap up the show after that. You don't have to have it backed by gold.
Yeah. Could it be backed by Bitcoin?
It sure helps to have it backed by gold.
It should be backed by something, right?
But I don't know how you do it, but you have to have some way of controlling the production of new ones. And you need to have stable supply. And however that can be reliably achieved, I think, is good. Gold is a really effective way of doing that. Honestly, Bitcoin could do it too. There's more than one way to skin a cat. And I have a lot of confidence in Donald Trump and his people.
And we, as you know, the people have much greater visibility into the amount supply of Bitcoin than we do of gold.
Oh, we have perfect visibility. No, you'll never have perfect visibility into the supply. You'll have perfect visibility into the maximum amount there can be, which is pretty damn good. But
yeah. Again, better than we have with gold, because they're still discovering new veins of gold.
Just popped out.
Oh my goodness. Congratulations, Ariel.
I'm assuming that you are the girl in that picture, but anyway.
She's the one that popped out the baby.
Congratulations. Yeah, a man would not say, I just popped out my second son. That would
Boys are the best. Not that there's nothing wrong with girls. I just don't have that. My husband
I'm a huge fan of girls. Girls are the best. But I think that my first child of my own, just for the purposes of carrying on my name, I'm kind of hoping for a boy. So
yeah. Boys are the best. We'll so Denise Ann 2 says, I just ordered my Epic Minerals. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
There was somebody in the chat earlier that was complaining about us doing ads, which it always makes me laugh, because basically you're saying that you think that we should work for you for free and devote our time and analysis and all of the work that goes into these shows. We should do it for you for free, which makes you a communist.
Total communist, but that's just a troll. This audience is so unbelievably supportive.
That's true. You guys are amazing.
We said in the pre-show that we would try to go a little short today to
we failed.
So that's how that worked. Hey guys, thank you so much for being here. We do this show every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Central. Hit that thumbs up if you please. Share the show. Follow us on Twitter, on Rumble, on all of the things, and we will see y'all on Monday.
Bye, guys.
Thank you so much for joining us, and don't forget to hit the thumbs up on this video. And a special thank you to all of our advertising partners. Please remember to shift your dollars to support those businesses that support Badlands Media.